Well, the latest on the bridge is I don't have a lot of an update. We've applied for that $500 million mega grant. And then we've also applied for one of the bridge grants that has come out since the mega grant. And I think the number was somewhere around 175 to 250 million for that. The last that I heard is that, pardon me, I'm going to get my microphone.
Okay.
Right here. Thank you. Now, yeah. The last you heard.
Yeah, the last I heard is, you know, everything's still, you know, going as planned for the mega grant. That doesn't mean we're going to get it, but that means that we're still in the running for that. I spoke to some ALDOT officials as recently as Friday morning, and you know, we're still in the hunt for that $500 million. I did not get an update on the bridge grants that are available, but you know, I think that ALDOT's off and running with the engineers with more planning, with more design aspects, and so that's where it stands. You know, the Eastern Shore MPO and the Mobile MPO have pretty much done what we are required to do up until now, which was we put it on our TIP or our Transportation Improvement Program, which means that ALDOT can continue to seek those additional funds and continue to work on aspects of the bridge, such as design, environmental impact studies, and financial modeling, traffic modeling, all those things that they need to do that will go into a $2.7 billion project.
So the final design is still not made?
Well, I can't say that it's 100%. We don't, you know, as an MPO member, I don't get involved in the design. You know, I know that there were talks about, you know, how are they going to merge, you know, say Wallace Tunnel traffic back into that, and they've already got plans for that. But you know, they may have big plans, but they have to get all the way down to the very, very detailed level, and I would assume that they're working on things like that right now, but the big pictures is done.
I see. So the efforts of no toll are really futile.
I think that the no toll, while nobody, myself included, wants a toll, basically if you have no toll, you have no bridge. And there are people that want us to wait for the federal government. I get that. I don't even disagree with them. But what I would say was there is no alternative method for paying this right now. I've even heard that, you know, well, Senator Albritton had a plan. Well, he had a plan. That plan was still, you know, $1.5 billion back when that was proposed. That, you know, probably has creeped up to $2 billion now, but that was a scaled down version. And I don't know where the money would come for that either. So without a toll, I don't think that the bridge would be in play right now. And as much as we hate it, we're trying to keep the cost down. We're trying to get as much money as we can so that it won't change the toll. Now, we did put in there a stipulation that it can't be more than $250. And, you know, if you get the Algo Pass, it'll be $250. If you get the monthly, if you do the monthly Algo Pass, it'll be $40 a month, which comes out to, if you're a daily commuter and only traverse the bridge and back once a day, that comes out to 87 cents per crossing. Mm-hmm. So we've got it down to, you know, well under a dollar for the daily commuters, trying to have as minimal impact as possible. But without a toll, the bridge, the finances, they just don't work. And I don't think we can sit around for another 5 or 10 years and wait for that money to magically appear. Number one, I don't think it's going to magically appear. And number two, the problems, and maybe that's number one, is the problem continues to get worse. You know, every time I go to Mobile, now it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a Friday afternoon or a Saturday or a Sunday, or it doesn't have to be in the peak tourist season. It's almost any day of the week, any time of the day, any season of the year, and it's a problem. So I think that's the people have spoken, you know, 80-something, I think 84% of the people believe that we need to solve the problem, and we need to solve it now. And so while nobody wants a toll, to have a solution, you know, we had to have that one component of the project.
I see. Unnecessary evil.
It's an unnecessary evil if we want a solution. Otherwise, you know, I gave a talk in Robertsdale several weeks ago, and you know, and not wrongly, people, you know, question again, you know, why aren't you listening to the no tollers? Because there's a lot more people that say we need a solution, and a lot more people support what we're trying to do than are opposed to what we're trying to do. They may not be as loud as the people. You know, typically the opposition is always a little bit louder than the support, but the polling, if you keep a cool head and look at the polling, more people want a solution, and they will, you know, live with a toll even though they don't like it, just like the people that have supported this solution don't like the toll, but also understand the need for a solution right now. But I've told one person in the audience there that if we do nothing, because they were upset with the situation, I said, if we do nothing, that, you know, you are the kind of person that's going to come back in 10 or 15 years from now when the money hasn't magically fallen out of the sky and say, why didn't you do something 15 years ago? Because that's what they do. And so we don't want to be that person. That, you know, we don't want to, while we don't want to toll, we don't want to look back in 10 or 15 years and say, look, now we can't even get commerce through here. Now we can't even get tourists through here because our elected officials chose to do nothing 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What situation would that put us in? That's the flip side of that coin that nobody wants to address.
Is it true the current plan would the new bridge would then tear down the old Bayway?
Yeah, the old Bayway will ultimately, it will remain open until it is completed. The new Bayway will be between the existing spans of the Bayway. And so once the new Bayway is fully operational, the old Bayway will come down. And that is, you know, when people have said, well, why not leave it open? Well, they simply wouldn't be able to pay for the bridge if you left that open. They do need some of that revenue. But the causeway, remember, the causeway, the Wallace Tunnel, the Bankhead Tunnel, and the Africatown Bridge all will remain toll-free. So if you want to take a toll-free route to Mobile, you can take the causeway. And that is a major, major change from the original proposal by ALDOT, which was to allow the concessionaires to toll any way now and any in the future.
Right.
And so we did fight hard, and that's why we did stop the project when we did and vote to take it off of our tip 2.5 years ago. And now we've got it back on because we did fight for the free route. So I would say if you want to take the toll-free route, you can take the causeway.
Okay. And I understand that the Spanish Fort mayor is already looking into that and maybe requesting some funding, concerned about what will happen to that road.
Well, and going back to design aspects, you know, that's something that has to be looked at as to what the impacts to the causeway will be and how that affects, you know, design aspects of the causeway to alleviate what will ultimately be more traffic going through Bay Minette. You could surmise that not everybody, but a lot of people that live on the Eastern Shore or Mobile that traverse between the two counties every day will be taking the causeway to save that money. So he's right to look into that. He does have a pledge from John Cooper, ALDOT's director, that they are looking at solutions for that. And I believe that Mayor McMillan is happy that with the dialogue that they're having with ALDOT, but you know, and also Mayor Lejeune and Daphne, they are both on top of that as they should be. And I believe that ALDOT does have their ear, and they are working well and cooperating on that.
Very good, Mark. Do you have any questions?
Well, I would want to go back to the super grant that you're pursuing, the $500 million. That's a significant amount of money,
right?
Obviously. But what happens if we get it? What happens if we don't get it? How is that? How does that affect things?
Obviously, well, if we get it, of course, you know, we're able to keep all of our promises for cost and keeping that low. If we don't get it, that's a great question, and one that I throw up on myself thinking that we might not. And what it would probably mean is that the term of the note would probably just be extended because we have drawn that line in the sand of what the cost is going to be. Now, would they be able to offer that Algo Pass for $40 a month at 87 cents? You know, maybe that goes to a dollar. I don't know. But what I would hope that they could do would be just to extend the period of time at which the financing takes place. In other words, maybe instead of hopefully getting a 20 or a 25-year bond issuance, maybe it's a 40-year bond issuance to spread that payment out over time. And but also keep in mind, you know, we're going to continue to go after other federal dollars that, you know, are unforeseen right now. You know, who knows what money's going to be available in 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road that we could apply for. You know, down the road that would eliminate a good portion of that debt, because all the federal money that we get is it also that we passed on our tip that it has to go to paying down the debt. That doesn't mean if we get an additional $500 million, your toll is going to go to 25 cents. What it means is we're going to knock years off of that
right,
debt is how that would work. You just can't keep the price of the toll can't keep fluctuating. It'll be fixed. It'll just change the length of the
term. Instead of doing
it
for 40 years, we'll do it for 30
years.
So
if we don't get that, what I would assume would be that term would increase. We're also still trying to twist Aldott's arm, and they know this, to pledge additional money. You know, they get so much money from the federal government, you know, every year. Mm-hmm. If we were not to get the $500 million, could we ask Aldott for an additional $50 million a year for 10 years to make up for that shortcoming? Now, don't forget, Aldott's already committed $250 million of their own money towards this project. We would definitely push for Aldott to put in more to make up any shortfall from that mega grant. So, like I say, it's hard to say exactly what would happen. You know, it might be probably, as a lot of things are, to be a combination of increased term, asking Aldott for more money, looking for other sources of income from the federal government as well.
Okay. Thank you, Jack.
Yes.
Excuse just
yes.
a moment.
All right.
Swap Shop, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a tricycle, radio flyer, girl, pink. I just want $10. I have a girl's bike, the next step up, a tricycle, and it has training wheels on it. It's a Disney bike. $10. I have two twin mattresses and a box spring, $20. I have a baby Gingerini bouncer for $10. I have a loft bed, a twin size mattress with it, and it's got a black metal frame. And I'm asking them. And also, my son has a big collection of Pokemon cards and a lot of collectible ones. And I just wanted to add that to it, and I can call him if somebody calls. I was going to put that on for him. And I have a whole lot of stuff in my storage unit I still need some help with. I got a lot of collectible stuff back there, and I can't get to it because I can't lift things. So, and my number is 251-233-7613.
Okay, 233-7613.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That would be an adventure. She needs help going through the storage room. Folks just kind of piled her stuff in there, and she can't lift it. And she's willing to give away a lot of it in order for someone to help her go through it.
Okay.
In addition to the other items that she had. And her number is 233-7613. And we're visiting with Jack Burrell, who was here earlier this morning as Fairhope City Council and was here now as chairman of the Eastern Shore Metropolitan Planning Organization. So it sounds to me like you're saying now that y'all have done your job, pretty much.
We have, but you know, one of the things that our job was still to be the watchdog for the locals,
okay,
to make sure that, you know, we're getting the, you know, the promises are kept that were made to us, and that we continue to seek opportunities. And I think you'll see some opportunities for some of the locally elected officials maybe to go to Washington when the time is right to try to push for additional funding for this. I think that we're going to continue to go to battle. We need to make sure that they keep their promise of the low toll, that they keep the promise of all the monies that are collected to go to paying off the debt. And I really wish there was a way. I don't think that it's part of our job, but, you know, it's something that, you know, I always harp on is just keeping the cost down, because it's kind of like, you know, blood in the water and the sharks are out there. The contractors are going to be, you know, bidding on this work. I mean, when it's such a massive project, it's going to be tough to keep prices down. You know, they will kind of own the market. If you can imagine how much concrete and steel is going to go into this bridge mm-hmm. project and this roadway, what's that going to go? What's that going to do to the local prices of concrete and steel? Is it going to be hard to come by? And because there's so much going into that effort, it's going to be hard to get, or the prices are going to spike? It's kind of a market maker when you have that much, when you have billions of dollars right. going into. So that's something to keep in mind as we go forward. But I'm sure they'll have a big, you know, national and international size contractor to you know, build this, to construct this bridge.
Folks can read more, much of what you're saying, if you go to the Eastern Shore MPO Facebook page. But where can we see a rendition or a drawing of what you think will be the final plans, or what
you've submitted? It's mobilebridge.com, if you go to that real quick.
Mobilebridge.com.
Yeah, just look that up, okay. See if you see mobilebridge.com. Let's see if that's it.
Nope.
Mobile Bay Bridge, something like that. Just do a Google search, maybe. Let's see. It's a .com. Yep, that's not it, I don't think. To traffic. There you go. Go to that.
Let's see that.
MobileRiverBridge.com.
There it is.
It is.
Okay, yeah. So right. Folks can go to MobileRiverBridge.com.
Click on that and see if that doesn't show.
Okay, it looks like that's not been updated since 2001. Mm-hmm. Click the button below to access the RFP yeah. documents.
Yeah, no, that's new. They got the archaeological updates. Go to the documents there.
Okay. So if you'd like
the preliminary layouts.
There it is. MobileRiverBridge.com, and then you can click on documents and preliminary layouts.
There you go.
And that's going to be
there you go.
What we're looking at. It's
yeah,
beautiful.
There's a lot of should be a lot of pages there. Let's go scroll down there and see how many pictures that is. Go to this one over here and we'll see how many there are. Pull that down.
Here.
Looks seven, like seven pages, but that's got some pretty good detail. That's a good overall view of the concepts, interchanges, major portions of it.
Like I said,
they don't get into the nuts and bolts, which is still being ironed out. But that's you know, here's the tunnel interchange. If you wondered how that would work and
right.
things like that.
Okay. So there it is, y'all. MobileRiverBridge.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jack.
Sure. Well, I appreciate you having me today.
I appreciate it too. If real quick, if you have a moment, let's talk a little bit about what we talked about in community contact
okay.
that folks may have missed, and that there was a big article over the weekend about some pretty grandiose plans that the new restaurant leaseholder at the pier is planning.
Right.
So, can you give us an update on that?
Well, you know, we're excited about those plans, and I've seen some artist renderings for a large expansion there, and I just want everybody to know that the city has been very forthright with the new leaseholder, that any expansion of the existing footprint will come at the price of a new lease with the city. We feel that the lease that they currently have is very much in favor of the leaseholder in today's times, and that we should be commanding a better price for that. And I think that the owner is well aware of that and also is agreeable to a new lease. So before the footprint, now that doesn't mean they can't make improvements to the existing footprint. When you just think about the footprint, let's say if however many square feet it is, I mean, it can remain that size. And they can fix that up and, you know, and make that whatever they want within reason, within the laws. But anyway, they can't perform an expansion, and they can't pursue those grandiose plans until they enter into a new lease with the city, which we want it to be favorable for both sides. I mean, we want it to be fair, but I personally, and I don't think the mayor also, and neither does the council, feel that the current terms are in that much in favor of the city. It's an old lease that's been in place forever. I think too long. I think it was very poorly written for the side of the city. And I know that if you're listening to this, and I may be stepping on some toes, but you know me, Lori, And Mark, that's just the way I feel. I think it's very.
But have you ever stepped on a toe?
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's very poorly written from a standpoint of the city, and it needs to be improved upon drastically. And before any grandiose plans are undertaken, we will have a new lease.
So they have taken over the Gambino's lease.
Right. Yes. They purchased.
So the talk about boat rentals and concessions and all these things.
All that will have to be looked at. You know, the concessions, okay. I have to look at the lease. You know, there was like a side window at the restaurant that I think maybe they could turn into snow cones or drinks or something like that. But I got to see whether or not subletting that is allowed, or if they were going to do that, run that themselves. But anything that, like boat rentals, if that requires new structure, anything that requires expanding that footprint will not move forward until we have a new lease.
Okay, but it does sound exciting, and something
does.
Like
so
the pier
I
has
don't
needed.
Want to be, sound too tough. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't want to throw water on those flames. I do want that to happen. But I do want a new lease, and I think that everybody on the city side of it wants a new lease. So I don't mean to extinguish those flames. We want the new tenant to make the most of that area, and I think that they will. I think they have some great ideas. They've had a lot of success along the Gulf Coast, and I think that they will. So I want to remain positive, but I do want to put it into perspective that you know, that's not going to happen overnight. In fact, that's not going to happen without a new lease.
Okay.
I can't speak for the city side of it, and I can't speak for the leasee side of it, but as a consumer, you know, I would almost like to see them just go ahead and knock it down and build something better there, something larger and more up-to-date, because that building, how old is that building now, 60 years old?
I couldn't tell you when the yard arm was originally built, but it's got to be 50 years at least.
It's very dated. It's old. Well, it's small. It's not laid out.
They're doing a huge remodel, and everything on the TV news says they're going up and they're going out, which means new lease.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they can't do a lot of that without you know, a new lease. And like I said, I don't think that their intentions was to put that out there and try to get public support and then put that pressure on the city council to allow them to do that under the existing lease. You know, I don't want to go there, but I am excited about what the possibilities are should they enter a new lease.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, you got to find the balance there.
You got to find a balance. That's right.
All right. Well, this is WABF 928-9228. Thank you, Jack
Burrell. Thank you
so much for being here.
Enjoyed it.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to take your calls.
Hughes Funeral Home and Crematory is honored to have been named the Eastern Shore Chamber's 2020.